You have to get harnessed. Excuse me. Aren't you glad that He is the lifter of our head? It's an honor. It's an honor to know Him. It's an honor to trust in the true and the living God.
Come on, brother. Hallelujah.
I know of nothing better. I haven't gotten rich by serving Him and preaching the gospel. But I have found a place in Him that I am content.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And contentment, godliness with contentment. Great gain, isn't it?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I am honored today to be here. And I'm great, more than that, it's a greater honor to preach the gospel to you.
Yeah.
I like to come here. The presence of the Lord is always
Jesus.
Here.
Jesus.
And I appreciate that.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 18, please. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountains of the Amorites. And as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea, that's the place where they would cross over into the promised land for the first time. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Now I want you to listen. It changes a whole different thing here. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandments of the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, you would not go up. I want to preach to you for a little while on you would not. Just a little while. I'll try my best not to hold you long. Amen. And ye would not. That is a statement that is so an indictment against Israel, because they had witnesses that it was a great land.
That's right.
It was a place where God wanted to bring them.
That's right.
It was God's will and God's choice. That should have been enough right there to want to go in, to desire, have a great desire. It's like heaven with us sometimes. We wonder if we really have the desire we need to go to heaven. And so before you condemn these people, think about it a little bit. Where are we? What time are we living in? What is the desire in your heart? What is God trying to do in your life and you won't let Him do it? We're just as guilty a lot of times as they were. And notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. How about that? Deuteronomy 1:43, so I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandments of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. Presumptuously means the act of rebelliousness. It means to be actually do it in an arrogant way. Be rebellious and proud. To deal arrogantly with. And sometimes we can have an arrogant attitude towards us about what God is trying to do in our lives. Amen? He wants to. God desires. He has a great desire to do for us. We sometimes think, well, God will not do that for me. He wants to.
Yes, He does.
He has a desire to do so. It is not God. That's not the problem. It is with us. Because the Bible says, have faith in God. You know, we need to have faith in God. It's just a simple thing to believe that God will do what He said. He said what He meant what He said. Amen. In Deuteronomy 8:20, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish. Now, this is exactly where the church is at today. If we don't obey God, if we don't do the things that God wants us to do, it'll be us that perish. It is not God, but it'll be us that perish. Because ye would not. There's that again. Because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The answer here is for us as God's people to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves. The children of Israel did not humble themselves because the enemy looked so great and because the land looked so hard to take. It is not us taking it anymore. It is us letting God give it to us. We're thinking that we've got to take it. Even people seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost a lot of times, they think we have got to get in a strain. We've got to force God. No. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, the Bible said, and he will flee from you. Then he said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Weep and mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Amen. So God has given us, through the writer of James, the book of James, He's given us the recipe for getting what we need from God. Amen. Amen. Giving us the recipe, getting what we need from God. In Isaiah 30:15, I would like if you have time to turn there with me. In Isaiah 30:15, and I'm going to stay up here because I've got quite a bit of scripture I want to read. Can't quote it all to you, so I'm staying up here this morning. I think I am anyway. I'll put it that way. Isaiah 30:15. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes my heart gets so burdened because I know what needs to be done. I know I see God opens our eyes and let us see what people need.
Amen.
And then when we go and offer this sometimes to them,
yeah,
they even have the attitude of saying, well, who are you to tell us what to do? Why do you preach like you do? Why do you say the things sometimes that are hard to receive? It is because, did you know before God would speak to Moses, he got his attention? Hello? Before he spoke to other prophets, he got their attention. Amen? And now it's in our day before God a lot of times speaks to us, he has to get our attention. Give you an example. I read in a book once about hearing. About hearing. And it said, I can say to someone, bring me the hammer. Or bring me the instrument. Or get me thus and thus. And a lot of times they will not hear you. They've got their mind somewhere else. And they say, but if you will say, Dan, will you bring me the hammer? The word Dan gets his attention. Hello? And sometimes when God, he may not call us by name, but he'll visit where we are. He will get our attention. Because God wants to help us. God has got something he wants to do in our individual lives. It is us that will not listen. It is us that don't hear the voice of the Lord. It is not because God has not offered, but it is because we do not hear when he speaks to us. I want to hear. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord unto me. Well, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. I want us to look at that scripture just a little bit.
Glory to God.
In rest. In rest shall you be saved. That is, by calmly reposing on God and calmly depending on God. And calmly depending means calmly believing what thus saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We need so much from God in our day. We're living in a world of chaos. Our government is falling apart. Churches all around us are preaching a false gospel. We need more than ever to hear what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
We need to calmly have confidence in our God that when he speaks to us, he will do exactly what he said he would. He's not a God that changes his mind between one generation and another generation. No, he's a God that sticks with his gun, so to speak. If he has said something, then God will do that very thing. He is not saying to one generation, I love you, and to the next generation, I don't care for you, I don't love you. We're fixing to go into a camp meeting. I'm looking forward to it. But you know, if we just come and sit through every service, amen, and do not hear what thus saith the Lord, we do not feel the Spirit of God wooing and drawing and pricking and convicting us, then we're not going to receive from God. But if we'll come believing that God will speak to us, and that we'll calmly accept what God has to say to us. I mean, be attentive.
Lord, I want to hear what you're saying to me. I want to know, God, what you want to do in my individual life. Amen. I know I don't have as long here as I used to have. I'll be in a few days. I'll be 74 years old, and you know, I know I've got some life left in me. I know I've got a little bit left in me, but I cannot be selfish, Brother Dan. I cannot be selfish and say I'm going to live for myself. What I want to do is live for God. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to be willing and ready and obedient. Amen. When God speaks to me, I want to speak to people. Hallelujah. I have got to calmly, you hear me, I've got to calmly. You know, we go at sometimes something, we're nervous because we're not used to it, you know, and we don't know what's happening a lot of times. I know when I go to painting, you know, I used to could paint real good and take a brush, you know, and dip it in there like, and just, I mean, just like that. No. Now it takes something out of me. Really puts me in a strain. I can't do it anymore. But there's nothing wrong with my spiritual hearing. You hear me? There's nothing wrong with my spiritual desire if I'll give place to it. If I'll calmly relax in the presence of God, God will do great and wonderful and mighty things in my life. Hallelujah. But most of the time we come to church, you know, I mean, we're anxious about something in the family. We're anxious about our finance or something else. We're always, you know, something's always hindering us. We forget, we don't even search out a lot of times the things that God has said He will do for us. We just think about ourselves, and God is not doing this for me. We see somebody else get a hold of something and they really get a blessing, or they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we haven't received it, you know, the first thing we know, think is God is paying more attention to that person than He is to us. Not so. God's not paying more attention to somebody else than He is us. I'm telling you, He will. The Bible plainly declares that God will. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He changes not. He does not change. In calmness, reposing on God, leaning on God, resting on the Lord for the assistance that we need, for what we're looking for what we're anxious for. How many is anxious for something? I can tell you what we're anxious about a lot of times. We're anxious about making another dollar. We're anxious about our children making the right choices and all those things. And we forget that God's got the answer to everything. Amen. Everything in our lives. I'm talking about from our finances. But first, you know, the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we're not seeking God first, how do we expect God to supply our spiritual need? Come on. He cannot do it. It is not because He don't want to, but your attention is drawn to other things and you're not depending on God. You're not looking to God. You're not waiting on God. Come on. You're not resting in God. We need to calmly rest in the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And He what? He will renew your strength. Yes, He'll renew that strength. He said you can mount up. Hallelujah. The old eagle, the storm can rage and rage and rage and rage. Nothing bother him. The wind may be strong and ruffle his feathers. No. His mind is calmly
waiting till the right gust comes along. Turkeys and chickens run for the hen house. They run for cover, not the eagle. No. The eagle, you know what the eagle does? He'll spread them big old wings of his and run just as fast as he can into that wind. And it lifts him up above the storm. It brings him to a higher position. Amen. With his creator. That's what we need this morning. That's what we need in this camp meeting. Amen. In quietness. How many is? I'm not against no way anybody prays. And I had a person tell me one time, it's a great ministry, still ministering. And I never heard him raise his voice in prayer, never. Matter of fact, most of the time, he cupped his face in his two hands. And you would not hear him pray. But I've also seen him lay his hands on a little cripple girl one day. And God healed her.
Hallelujah.
Just like that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I've always been the kind that prays out loud. I still pray out loud. I'm not against that. You hear me. I'm not against cupping your hands together and putting your face in there and whispering to God. I'm not against any way. But I can tell you, we need to quietly in our hearts, quietly. Mm-hmm. Our hearts don't need to be running 90 miles an hour. Our mind does not need to be distorted. We need to quietly wait upon the Lord. Quietly bring our petitions to the Lord. You hear me?
Hallelujah.
They presumptuously went up the hill. After he said, I'm not going with you, God said, I'm not going with you. They said, we're going anyway. You know what happened to them, don't you? The enemy come down and defeated them. When we don't wait upon the Lord, the enemy has a better chance in defeating us. Get quietly before God. Wait on Him. Kneel down. Get on your knees. I've watched these. I can preach against them. They're not here. I've watched these preachers arrogantly walk up and down the aisles of the church and back and forth across the front walking. But my Bible told me to humble myself. Somebody said, well, I walk sometimes when I pray. I wouldn't have confidence in anybody that walked all the time when they prayed. That's not humbling yourself before God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's all right. Didn't cost you anything extra. You look up the word humble. You look it up. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Let me tell you something. God is sitting in heaven with all power, you hear, and might and power and dominion.
Hallelujah.
And I don't need to stand up and arrogantly tell God what I want. I need to humble myself under His mighty hand. And then let Him do the exalting, not me. No, I don't need to exalt myself. But God needs to exalt me when the time comes. Amen? We need it in quietness. Collect, that means a state of mind, the right state of mind even. And He said, you shall be safe. Your enemy shall not be able to overcome and subdue you. That's all the enemy wants in our day. That's all he wants, is to be able to overcome and subdue you. Ever how he gets the job done,
That's all he cares about. I don't want him to subdue me. Come on. What I need from God, I need it now. Hello? Like I said, I'm not getting any younger. I need it now. Me and my wife. If you ain't got anything to pray about, just pray for Donald A. Ross and Betty Jean Ross. Amen. We can use it. Hello? Anytime you get on your knees or whatever, and you say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Just remember, brother and sister Ross. I'm not selfish. I need prayer, though. Amen.
Amen.
Help me here.
Bless you, Lord. Bless
when I get before God, when I get before Him, mm-hmm. I take the world before Him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Call it boasting, bragging. I'm telling you, it's your job to do the same.
Right,
if you only pay for you and Johnny and Susie and your wife, you four and no more, God is not pleased with that.
That's right. Come on.
God spoke to me right here in this church several years ago. Probably five years ago. Spoke to me and said, I'm going to touch your life and you're going to be a priest for me. Now, I'm not boasting in that. I'm not worthy to do that. Brother Ross, you can't pray for the world. Well, then you need to take some pages out of your Bible.
Amen. Come on, brother. Amen.
Pray for all men,
everywhere.
Also lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Yes. Amen.
When you go before God, let it be quietly, in confidence that God's going to hear you and God's going to answer your prayer.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes.
Hey, we think our shoe heels have got to be on fire for God to do something. And no. He's a quiet God. He's a reposed God. He's a waiting God. You hear me? He's waiting on you to have faith in Him so He can do it for you.
Hallelujah.
You shall be saved. Your enemies shall not be able to overcome and subdue you. But guess what the next little line said? But ye would not. But you would not. My Lord. God is saying, look here. He brought this bunch of people here. Israel, he brought them right there at Kadesh Barnea. He brought them there. It was time for them to go up and claim their inheritance. They had to fight for it, yes. But God said, I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
I just want to read you a little something that I found in the little Bible program that I have. And it says, now a conservative estimate of the total number of Israelites who came out of Egypt would be about 2 million, conservative estimate. Some say there should be as much as 3 and 4 million people. And he didn't put just a little path like this path right here between the benches through that sea that night. No. About 3 miles wide, folks. 2 or 3 miles wide. And they went across on dry ground. For they had 600,000 men able to go forth to war. And Omer was to be gathered for every one of these 2 million souls. And an Omer is the equivalent of 6 pints. There would be 12 million pints, or 9 million pounds gathered daily. 9 million pounds gathered daily. And we count it such a little old thing. Which was 4,500 tons. Hence, 10 trains
each having 30 cars, and each car having in it 15 tons would be needed for a single day.
Praise God. What a God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And God had done this for what?
Yeah.
Quite a while he had done that.
That's right.
Every day he was faithful in that. And these people here were doubting that God could take them up there and take the land.
Man, come on, brother. Come on, brother. Come on.
They had this every morning when they went out.
Yeah.
They gathered it every morning. The miracle was there. Did you know what? They called it manna, but you know what word manna means? What is it? What is it? Did you know they never really realized what it was? They didn't get a hold of that. Did you know we got a Pentecost among us? And for the most part, we really don't even know what it is. Because we're not allowing it to take place in our lives like God wants it to. Amen. And ye would not, God Himself said, and ye would not. Moses wrote it, but God spoke it. You shall be saved from your enemies. That's another thing, you know. We worry about the state. We worry about people. We worry about those that we preach against, homosexuality and all this stuff. We worry about those people. And God said we were not supposed to worry about what our enemies could do.
Amen.
They sang a little song here just before I preached.
Mm-hmm.
Got up to preach.
Mm-hmm.
God is able.
That's right, brother.
Our God is able.
Yes, He is able, brother.
In Jeremiah 29:19, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and seeing them, put ye, but ye would not. Excuse me. Rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. I want to give you just in our day, salvation now. Jesus, no, He's not here, but I mean, this salvation is for us today. In Luke 13:34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Israel denied their king. And ye would not. Many of us have just got a partial salvation. I know that's bad to say that. But when I'm talking about a partial salvation, we have not really got all that God wants us to have. And so if we don't have all that God wants us to have, then it's a partial. Amen? And we don't need a partial.
Amen.
God will. God is still in the business.
Amen, brother.
You hear me? I remember praying several times, and I've heard God speak to me and say, I will answer your prayer. I will deliver. I will set free. I will keep. Come on. Some folks moved in across the road from me. They're raising fighting roosters. They're fighting them. They probably got 25 roosters, and those things get to squalling and raising Cain and all that stuff, and now the Bible speaks of this, folks. It speaks of it really worrying the elderly people, the grasshopper, you know, and a lot of things that kind of worry the elderly people. But before you judge that, let me tell you something. God's able to keep the elderly as well as He is the young.
Amen.
And God spoke to me, I believe it was last year, we had some boys over there that had big guns. I ain't talking about pea shooters. I'm talking about big guns. Boom, 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 boom. You don't just almost shake the ground where you're at.
And they were drinkers, and they were people like this. And God said to me, I was going to leave. And I said, God said, put the place in my hand.
Right, that's it. Amen.
Put your place in my hand.
Yes. There you go.
I said, God, I put it in your hand.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? It was just like I left it when I got back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like I left it.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Again this year. I mean, this is a deal here where I'm, you know, when you go to breaking the law, it's against the law to fight roosters in Florida. It ought to be against the law to raise them if it's against the law to fight them. But they're raising them. And they're fighting them out there at night. I hear them out there just, you know, but the Lord has helped us. It seems like when we go in our bedroom, there's no window on that side. No window on that side. And we can hear them just a little bit. Now, but where it bothers me is when I go out to sit on my front porch. I like to sit on my front porch. And that's when it all bothers me.
Yeah.
But God says, I'm going to help you with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you with it. I've been praying about it, seeking God about it. And God has spoke to me, and He's going to help me. Somebody said, Brother Ross, you're talking about little things. Well, God has no difference in little things and big things. Whatever's in your life, come on here. Whatever's going on in your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, I can tell you it makes no difference with God. God is saying to you today, in this camp meeting, if you'll trust me, if you'll let me, I can do what you want done in this camp meeting. I believe that with all of my heart. Raise your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
He'll help us, Lord, thank God.
It's not just small blessings. It's universal blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Listen to what He said. He wants to give eternal life. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. In John 6:51, it's spiritual knowledge. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. John 7:17, salvation. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10:9. Like wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to just His special people. No. Liberally to what? All men. And upbraid us not. It doesn't beat us on the head because we don't have it. If we want it, God is able to give it to us. And He wants to give it to us. It is His desire to give it to us. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. God wants to give it to you. I know what we want, what we sometimes, if your coattail's not on fire and there's not a lot of the Spirit moving in the service while you're preaching, we want sometimes to kind of put it aside and say, well, it just wasn't for me. No. Listen, God speaks His Word sometimes so gently and so, just so sweet. His Word. I've had it just jump off the pages and jump into my heart. Have you ever had that to happen to you? Just reading and it just jump off the pages of the Word of God and jump into my heart. I feel His presence.
Master.
Wisdom.
Glory to God.
He gives wisdom. We need it. We need it.
Yes.
Divine fellowship. Do you believe that God wants to fellowship with you?
Oh, yes.
If you don't, you need to find you a place to pray.
Amen.
And you need to
renew your covenant with God.
Come on, brother. That's good. Amen, brother.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If just certain people hear me, what does it say?
Amen.
If any man hear me, any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's the God that I serve. Somebody said, well, things are not going so good in my life and I got a few things in my life that shouldn't be there, and so I just don't feel like God will help me. He will give me what I need. Well, repent.
That's right. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Simple. Easy.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah.
How many times have we in time past had to repent? Because we didn't pray.
Come on, brother.
Because we didn't witness like we're supposed to.
Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because we didn't trust God like we ought to. Hello?
Come on, come on, amen. True, brother, true.
I'm going to confess. You might never want to ever hear me preach again. You could hear me pray sometimes. You'd say the man's backslid.
Come on.
But if I fail God in any manner, in any way, I don't ask God for nothing till I repent. Hello? What did John say? If any man sin, he's talking to Christians, folks. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen? In quietness, in simplicity, can we come back to God? Oh, no. You've got to have a repentant heart. And you know what repenting is? Repenting is turning from. It's not just saying, Lord, I've sinned. Will you forgive me? It is saying, God, if you'll help me, I will never do it again. God, I want the strength that I won't ever do it again. Come on here. Amen. If there's sin in your life, the easiest thing to do, if you're failing God on the job, if you're failing God in your household, if you're failing God in worship, come on here. All you got to do is say, God, would you please forgive me?
Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ne, ne, rei na moho.
Woo! Glory! Hallelujah!
Mene,
praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Somebody needed that.
Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Go ahead. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Let me finish up in a hurry. God's love is a universal love. God's love is a spiritual love. And God's salvation is possible to all men, everybody. Everybody. God's forgiveness is possible to every man. I want you to listen to some invitation that God has given us in the New Testament, one out of the Old Testament. Matthew 22:3, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. They would not come. If we'd just come, if we would just come to God. And they would not come. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Israel's Messiah. And they wouldn't. And ye would not. Jesus himself said, ye would not. John 5:40. And ye will not come to me that you might have
life, but not come to me, that you might have life. I'm glad that God gave me a repentant spirit when I know things ain't right between me and God. Yeah. Say what you want to. You can call me whatever you want to. I don't care. But when I do wrong or when I fail God, I find me a place to pray.
Come on, brother.
And I ask God to forgive me.
Come on.
And then I rest in the Lord to believe that He will forgive me.
Yeah.
He does forgive me. A lot of people think that their own selfish way can go right on and on and on and on, and God never expects nothing of you. That's not true. Pretty soon you'll lose your salvation, completely lose your salvation.
That's right, brother. Come on.
Repentance is required when we fail God.
Amen, brother.
When we quit following God and want to go back to following Him, we must repent.
Amen.
Of whatever drawed us away, whatever brought us away from God. Hello?
Absolutely.
I want you to look with me in Psalms 107. Everybody, I want you to look at it. Psalms 107. I'll try my best to hurry. I don't know what the time is. I shouldn't even worry about it.
No, don't worry about it.
Psalms 107 and verse 7. And He led them forth by the right way. Look at that. That they might go to a city of habitation. Israel fit that bill, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works, for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's another good thing to do is praise Him. You know, I never start asking God for anything until I have loved Him, praised Him, worship Him, and then I ask Him for my needs. Do ever how you want to, but I think that's a good way.
Hallelujah.
For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Yeah.
Now listen to what verse 10 says. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in afflictions and iron. That's the type that God satisfies, the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, there was none to help, no man to help. That don't mean that God wouldn't help. God will help. God did help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Look at that.
Yes.
This just simply means if we're in trouble, we need to go to God, and God will help us.
Amen.
Amen. If you look at Psalms, if you'll investigate and study Psalms 107, you'll find that there's four different groups of people here and four different types of destruction here. But God rescued them from all of them. Look at it sometimes. He brought them out of darkness, verse 14, in the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. That verse right there is, I think, four times in Psalms 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Cut them in two. The gates of brass. The gates that's held you out from getting what you need. The Bible here says He has cut them asunder. He's broke them down and opened them up so you can go in and receive what you want. Hello? He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for that. Look at verse 16. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Yeah. Are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And guess what he does? Read it with me. And he saveth them out of their distresses. He delivers them. He saves them out of their distresses. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. I'm going to make a statement here. I don't know whether Brother Dan and these other ministers will agree with me, but it doesn't mean here that he heals them of their sicknesses here, because by his stripes we are healed.
Right.
He sent his word and healed them. Now listen, the rest of it. And them from their destructions. Diseases, you can have diseases and be going to die. And God might not heal you, but you're not headed for destruction. Hello?
Yeah.
You are not headed for destruction.
Yeah.
He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The preaching of the word of God is deliverance from the bondage that Satan holds over you.
Amen.
The preaching of the word.
Hallelujah.
He sent his word and healed them.
Hallelujah.
And delivered them from their destruction.
Hallelujah.
He didn't deliver them from their diseases. He delivered them from their destructions.
Yeah.
The sin destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
To the children of men. Give me just a moment.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord God, to the wicked. This explains why, many are searching for amusement and pleasures and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And many are enslaved themselves by alcohol, drugs, gambling, world. The world is restless. Confusion is everywhere in businesses and politics.
Come on,
worldwide.
Yeah.
Worldwide. You know why? Because we will not ask Him to help us.
Right on,
right.
We will not ask Him to help
Jesus,
us.
Jesus.
Brother Emery, I'm going to use you. If you get upset at me, I'll apologize in front of everybody. You're just talking about your financial problems. Best thing in the world to do is get your little family together. Tell them we got a financial problem. Get down, pray.
Yeah.
Children, wife, husband,
mm-hmm.
pray.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you God will come to your rescue
mm-hmm.
if you believe Him.
Amen.
Then you can quietly recline in God.
Yeah.
Recline means rest
yes.
in the Lord.
Amen.
You can do that. I've gotten my family together many times when my children were little and small. Finance wasn't so good. Got them together and we prayed. That's right. I've seen one more meal in my house. And it wasn't what you would set before friends and family, visitors would come. I've seen it. What did you do, Brother Ross? We prayed. Me and my family prayed. What happened? That very day, my sister
and her husband came. They knew nothing of our circumstances. They didn't know that they wouldn't no more groceries hardly in the house at all. And so I heard my sister say to him, "You want me to go ahead and give it to him?" The check was wrote out. And this is years ago when my children were still, you know, maybe the oldest one was, the oldest two was teenagers. But they gave us a check for $100. We went and spent about 53 of it for groceries and had money for gas and other things. Hello?
Oh, yeah.
You said, "Brother Ross, that isn't, that's nothing." Yes, it is when you're on the bottom.
Yeah, it is. All right, brother. Amen.
Let me tell you something. That was my need, Brother John. God met my need.
Amen.
He's still meeting needs today.
Amen.
We don't fight too much over financial needs anymore. We're doing pretty good in America. Hello?
Amen.
We're doing pretty good in America. But I can tell you, spiritually, we're paupers a lot of times.
Right.
And we need to depend upon God. We need to wait upon the Lord.
Yes.
And He shall renew our strength.
Yes.
We shall mount up, come on, with wings as eagles. We shall run and not grow weary. We shall walk and not faint. If we wait upon the Lord. And waiting upon the Lord is not just waiting, sitting there. It is praying and believing that God will come and God will answer your prayer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Would you stand with me?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Here this morning, God spoke to me and gave me this message since I came here. I just had it started, just some little something, and God spoke to me. And I've finished it since I've been here.
Hallelujah.
I'll give you what the Lord has laid upon my heart.
Praise the Lord.
And there's several people here this morning that you need to trust God for something. And I'm going to say this with love and compassion in my heart. There's several here that needs to. Your salvation is not what it used to be. And that's not God's fault.
No, it's not.
He said, "I brought you to the place to enter."
Mm-hmm.
And you would not.
Mm-hmm.
So God is speaking to somebody here this morning, and He has brought you to the place to enter.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you whether or not you enter. Amen.
Yeah. Glory.
That land was flowing with milk and honey, Brother John.
Mm-hmm.
With milk and honey.
Yeah.
And they would not. They would not. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Because they would not. God said it. Said, "I'm going to keep you here 40 years. God help us that we don't fool around and wander in the wilderness because we wouldn't let God do for us what needs to be done. Well, Dan, I'm going to give it to you. Come on. Come on.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This is needed, church. I feel like we just need to come get on our knees a little bit and ask God to help us and put this in our hearts. They would not.
That was a thing of choice. It was not that they could not. It was that they would not. That's a choice they made. They chose not to go in. Everything was there, but they would not. That's a matter of choice. I don't want that to be for me, church. God's got it available for us. Amen. Why don't we come? Let's get in this altar a little bit here this morning. Let's ask the Lord to help us to see who we are and where we're at this morning. Glory to God.